Hi, this is Nancy Cameron. I'm re-recording here my sermon from Sunday, as we had some technical difficulties making it difficult to focus on what was being said. So I'm so pleased that you're joining me today. I'm carrying on this week, following on from Vic's sermon last week, where he was very open and honest about the issues he'd been having around his mental health. And he shared a lot about how we can find all that we need for good mental health from God's word. And he spoke especially about the importance of thankfulness. And I want to carry on that thought this week. Vic used 1 Thessalonians 5:23 as one of his scriptures, which speaks about how we are spirit, soul and body with three-part beings. And he spoke about our soul being including our emotional realm. And our emotions follow our thoughts. They are a thermometer of our thought life. Emotions show us what we're thinking. Whatever we're feeling is as a direct result of what we've been thinking. And even negative thoughts and thoughts of grief, it's not necessarily that it's sinful. It's just showing us what we've been thinking. For example, grief and sadness are very, very natural emotions to have when we're thinking about the loss of a loved one. So emotions are not wrong. They are God-given. They are designed to show us what's going on in our thought life. And especially in the area of negative emotion and negative thought life, God doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want us to live in that realm of sadness and pain. He's given us the tools. He's given us his word to use to help us change our thinking and change our emotions and make our mental health just that much better. Because problems come, difficult situations come, upsets and distress, they all come. And our minds can be bombarded with negative thoughts because of different situations. And that's when we need God's word to draw on and to shape our thoughts according to his word and not just the circumstances. We need to fill our minds with the knowledge of how to deal with things and not wait until the crisis is hot before we try and draw on the provision of God. I've quoted this before, not the word, but I've quoted Jane Eyre before, Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. Because in this passage, she talks about the importance of being rooted and grounded in God's truth. And she says, "I will hold to the principles received by me when I was sane and not mad as I am now. Laws and principles are not for the times when there is no temptation. They are for such moments as this, when body and soul rise in mutiny against their rigour. Stringent are they, inviolate they shall be. If at my individual convenience I might break them, what would be their worth? They have a worth, so I have always believed. And if I cannot believe it now, it is because I am insane. Quite insane, with my veins running fire and my heart beating faster than I can count its throbs. Preconceived opinions, foregone determinations are all I have at this hour to stand by. There I plant my foot." God has given us his word to use when we're tested and tried by our circumstances, and we need to have his word in our hearts as preconceived opinions and foregone determinations. We need to have them there as absolutes so that we've got them to stand on, to draw on, to use in a time of need. That's what they're designed for. That's why God's given them to us. And as Vic said last week, thankfulness is a very important attitude to adopt. It's a great weapon in our arsenal to fight the onslaught of opportunity for negativity. Some problems arise and are resolved in a day. Others can last for days, weeks, and even years. And this is when we need to have God's word, to have it as a foregone determination, to put our faith in it, to stand, to make sure that we aren't overwhelmed by negative emotion and brought low. And it is a mistake to think that we will never have issues to deal with just because we're Christians. On the contrary, when we become born again, it's our head coming firmly above the parapet and we are a target. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." There he says we shall have tribulation, but here's the thought to focus on. Here's the foregone determination to have. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So thanksgiving doesn't immediately change a circumstance or a problem, but it changes our attitude to that problem. And it strengthens our faith to change the problem, to change the circumstance. Every day we wake up and have a new day to live out, and every day is a new opportunity to see our lives influenced by God's word. And the morning's a perfect time to set our hearts into an attitude of thankfulness. Thankfulness fills our minds with the truths of God's provision, and it causes the emotional response, the emotional positive response, giving a great start to the day. Lamentations 3 verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23. They, that is, the Lord's mercies and compassions, are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So the morning's a great time of day to bring our thoughts into a good place of thankfulness. So my sermon today is 10 things to be thankful for every morning. Number one, thank you that I am loved unconditionally. And this may seem like a cliche, but without this truth, we are in trouble. Every day begins with direct, open access to the presence of God, only possible because of his great love for us. John 3:16, of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And 1 John 4 verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter every morning into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God," and having that as a foregone determination and a preconceived opinion, "let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, well, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." God loved us so much that he sent Jesus for us. And Paul is saying that now we've been reconciled. If while we were enemies, God would do that, now that we're reconciled, my goodness, all that's available to us. The saved by his life. Saved is the Greek word sozo, and life is zoe. These beautiful words that we know so well. Sozo, that complete package, and zoe, that beautiful God's kind of life. His love and his love alone has been the motivation for his plan of salvation for us through Jesus. And the result, the fruit of his love, is all that's followed in his dealings with man, and the culmination of his plan of salvation, that finished work of Jesus on the cross. His love is the first thing to be thankful for and to have fill our minds and our emotions at the beginning of each day. Secondly, thank you that you are with me. We often quote and sing that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we think on that truth with thankfulness, it should give us great confidence for our day. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And Hebrews 13:5, of course, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thirdly, thank you that you are a good God. We can be thankful that God has defined what is good and what is evil. And we don't have to worry that he's going to cause some evil to come upon us, calling it good. He is a good God and he wants good things for his people. And the things that he calls good are what we would call good. We don't have to think that he's going to do some evil and he's going to call it good. God is not God. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 135 verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Isaiah 45 verse 7 is an interesting verse. And it says, I form the light, this is the Lord speaking, I form the light, and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, some people have interpreted that to think that if God's created evil, then any evil that happens has come from him. That is not true. That doesn't form a pattern in Scripture, especially in the New Covenant. But I was reading Andrew Womack's commentary about this scripture, and he expressed how I felt about that scripture when I read it, about how it's not so much that the Lord creates but defines. Listen to this. He says, darkness is the absence of light. The absence of light existed before God created light in Genesis 1:2. So God didn't really create darkness, but God forms the light and defines anything other than light as darkness. Likewise, the Lord doesn't create evil, but establishes peace and calls anything else evil. This verse is saying that God creates moral order and defines anything that doesn't conform to that morality as evil. Only in that sense does he create evil. He determines or defines what evil is. This is not saying the Lord originated or promotes evil. So I am really thankful that God is a good God and that I can trust him, that he is not going to do something evil to me and call it good. Fourthly, thank you that you desire that I prosper and be in health. And thankfulness of this truth should cause joy and even excitement as we enter our day. Knowing this is God's desire for us can give us confidence, even if circumstances are saying something different. Think of Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 1. we read, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him." He bought him. He was a slave. He bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." The Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was prosperous, even though he had nothing. He was stripped naked. He didn't even have his freedom. He was a slave. But the Lord was with him, and he was prosperous. It doesn't matter what we have. It doesn't matter where we are. What matters is that God is with us, and that's what makes us prosperous. I was thinking about my mum, who in the last years of her life was bedbound. And then for the last year of her life, she couldn't speak much. She was quite nonverbal towards the end. But there was a time when a family member was having problems and was sat by mum's bedside and put their head on the bed and wept because of a circumstance. And my dear mum, although her body was failing, she was still able to put her hand on that person's head, and she prayed in tongues. She prayed in tongues, even though there she was, so limited physically, and yet she was prospering in her spirit and was able to still give, to still pour out over a family member who she loved. She was still prosperous. What a blessing. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. This was one man's letter to another man, but it's been included into Scripture for us. And this is God's heart for us, that he wants us to prosper and to be in health. He calls those things good, and he wants them for us. That's something to be thankful for. Psalm 23, of course. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, when he's talking about giving, he says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God wants to abound to us so that we can abound to others. That's prosperity. Thank you, fifthly, thank you that you work all things together for my good. This is a tremendous truth, something for which we can be really full of thankfulness. Romans 8:28, of course. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." This scripture comes just after Paul's been talking about the importance of praying in the Spirit. And it's a great poke in the eye for our enemy. Whatever our circumstances are, we have been given this gift of seeing things change, of seeing even negative things being worked around so that it works for our good, so that the enemy doesn't get the victory, even with something negative, but it can be turned around. Whatever that circumstance is, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to suffer under or beneath any circumstance, because we've been gifted the resources to fight with our words and see great change come. And it may take time. It does, as I've said, it doesn't always happen immediately. And because of that, we need to develop patience, waiting for the time, the seed time and harvest part of things, to allow God the time to be working in a circumstance and to bring change. But the whole time we can be positive and we can be patient. Romans 5:3, Paul says, But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's not that we are rejoicing because of a tribulation, but knowing that God can turn everything around, that means that we can have great encouragement when problems rise up, knowing that it's going to strengthen our faith and give us the experience for the next trial or the next problem that comes along. When we've already experienced God's goodness and God's victory, we've got that experience and to be patient and wait for the next thing. And James says something similar. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." He says, count it all joy when things come upon us. Now, I wouldn't say I've managed to attain that. But here he's saying what temptations and trials do is give your faith the opportunity to be practiced and to be perfected, so that ultimately, as life goes on, we'll be so practiced at exercising our faith that we will want for nothing. That is good news. And that's God working all things together for our good. Temptations, they test, they try our faith. And they can come in so many different forms: family worries, financial worries, health issues, relationship concerns, as well as the obvious temptations to sin. And because God is not the author of these things, but he's given us the tools and the weapons to fight. And in that, if we can exercise patience and become experienced, we can get the victory in these different circumstances. Patience is just faith over a prolonged period, keeping our eyes fixed on God's word, refusing to move away, having it as that foregone determination every day that I'm going to stand on God's word and declare it. Even if we don't see instant change or instant manifestation, we can keep our faith fixed on God's promises and exalt his word above every situation, and know that God will work all things together for our good. Sixth thing, I thank you, Lord, that I am blessed. This is such a great promise. God has commanded his blessing on those that observe and do his commandments. This is Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, why do I emphasize that, keeping those commandments? Because we're new covenant believers, right? Well, we're new covenant believers and we have been made a new creature and we have his laws written on our hearts. And we are blessed because Jesus fulfilled every requirement of the law. And we have put our faith in Jesus. And because of his ability to keep the commandments, we partake of all those blessings. We are joint heirs with him. Romans 8:17. So we are blessed with all these blessings that God spoke about under the old covenant because Jesus kept all those commands for us. We are blessed in the city and in the field. We're blessed wherever we live. We're our children and our livestock, all our businesses are blessed. Our basket and our store, our wallets and our bank accounts are blessed. And at this point, we can express thankfulness for our homes and our families. We're blessed wherever we go. Whatever we put our hand to in terms of work and business is blessed. will be so abundant that we'll have plenty to lend and we won't need to borrow. And then the Lord goes on to say in chapter 28, verse 11, he says, "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee." Well, fruit takes time to develop. And this is talking about our salvation as well, that it develops. Everything, the plenteousness, the fruitfulness, it takes time to develop. And the prosperity that comes out of our salvation, it can take time to develop. In verse 12, "The Lord shall open up unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. We are the head and not the tail, we are above only and not beneath. And we are free from all the curses of the law, of disobedience to the law," that Moses then goes on to say. We're free from all those curses through Jesus, because Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And that's referring to Jesus on the cross, of course. We are blessed with all those blessings through Jesus, and we are free from all of those curses through Jesus, through his finished work alone. Thank you, Lord. Number 7, thank you that I have a hope and a future. This follows on from being blessed. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That phrase, expected end, comes from Hebrew words, which I interpret to mean a cord attached to the future. That's what these words mean, a cord attaching to something, meaning something to hope for in the future. This is God speaking to us, saying that he has a future for us directly attached to his thoughts of peace. And that word peace is shalom. The Hebrew kind of equivalent of sozo in the New Covenant, shalom, it means safe, well, happy, friendly. It means health, prosperity, and peace. To be wholly well, to have welfare. That's God's desire for us. And our future is attached by a thread, a cord, to his peace, to his provision, to all that blessing. We have that hope. And having hope for the future is something to be thankful for. Not just an eternal hope, but hope for every day until then. Number 8, thank you that I am more than a conqueror. How can we be more than conquerors? Well, conquerors have the victory and the spoils of war, but they have to fight to get them. We are more than conquerors because we have victory and all the spoils of war, but we didn't do the fighting. Jesus fought and won this battle for us, and all we have to do is receive the benefits. That's being more than a conqueror. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." 1 John 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And 1 John 5, verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ninth thing to be thankful for, thank you that I have the measure of faith. The word says that I have the same measure, the same quantity of faith as every other believer. Now, my faith may not be as strong as someone else's, but the potential of mine is exactly the same. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Like precious faith means of equal value or honour. A few months ago, I did a sermon and I spoke about faith as a servant. I don't know if you remember that. At salvation, we were given the supernatural faith of God. And we had to use the very faith of God, not human faith, to believe the gospel, Ephesians 2:8. That faith came to us through hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And once we were born again, it becomes an abiding fruit of the Spirit within us, Galatians 5:22 and 23. All believers are given the same measure of faith at salvation. Romans 12 verse 3, the measure of faith. With 2 Peter 1 verse 1, like precious faith. And Galatians 2:20, the faith of the Son of God. But of course, not all believers use what God has given them. Therefore, it is correct to speak of growing in faith and having great faith or little faith. But it's important to understand that this is speaking of how much faith believers use or manifest, not how much faith they were given. All believers were given the same measure of faith. And speaking of that faith as a servant, do you remember I spoke about Luke 17, verse 5? I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. The apostles said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. The Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it would obey you. Then he goes on to give a parable about faith. When a servant comes in from ploughing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron and serve me while I eat, then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. Your faith is your servant, waiting to work on your behalf, to bring things from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. Your faith is waiting for your command. Your faith is not sitting in the background playing cards. Your faith is ready, waiting, active, wanting to serve you, wanting to go and get the things from the spiritual and bring them into the physical for you. Every one of us, as born again believers, we have that measure of faith, the faith of the Son of God, mountain moving, dead raising, miracle working faith, and it's on the inside of us. And we need to think of it as that servant fetching us the things that we need from the heavenly realm. In that sermon a few months ago, I spoke of faith as this punching a hole in our circumstances and allowing God's word to influence and change them. Our faith does that. Our faith breaks through circumstances. Our faith starts to make change in the natural. That's a great thing to be thankful for. that we have faith that can change our circumstances through God's word. It's a really, really powerful gift. Thank you, Lord. And finally, number 10, thank you that I am being changed. Every one of us can look at our lives and see how God's word has made changes. We can all testify to that transforming power in one way or another. Romans 12 verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God doesn't want us to stay as we are. He wants us to continue to grow. He wants us to continue to develop, to develop that faith, strengthen our faith, and to develop patience so that we can see his word doing all that it's designed to do in our lives, and to keep going, to keep pressing on, to keep his truths in our minds, and to keep our emotions positive as we're doing that. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Be determined to keep going. Be determined to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. To keep using the measure of faith that you've been given. To bring God's word to come into your life. Those things that you've decided are foregone determinations, preconceived thoughts and ideas that you are going to be determined to stand on and to see come to pass in your life. So these 10 things again. Thank you that I am loved unconditionally. Thank you that you are with me. Thank you that you're a good God. Thank you that you desire that I prosper and be in health. Thank you that you work all things together for my good. Thank you that I am blessed. Thank you that I have a hope and a future. Thank you that I am more than a conqueror. Thank you that I have the measure of faith. And thank you that I am being changed. Even after writing those 10 things, I've been thinking of other things that I'm thankful for, that I can say, give thanks for every morning. And bring my emotions bring my thoughts into line with the truth of God's word so that my emotions will follow and be more settled in myself as I go into my day, trusting in these foregone determinations that I have. Another one for me is thank you that you are faithful. God is so faithful. Another one could be thank you that I am accepted in the beloved. That is so, so lovely. And I can be so thankful that I am accepted by God. Who better to be accepted by? Every one of us can have our own things that mean a lot to us in terms of what we are thankful for and what God has done for us through Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you've been blessed by these thoughts. And that they will be things that you can think of every morning, be thankful for, have a heart of thankfulness every day. Come into the presence of the Lord with boldness every day, with thanksgiving. On our Thursday night Bible study this week, we're going to be talking about all the things that we're thankful for. So if you can join us, that would be wonderful. And come ready to share things that you've been thinking about, that you're thankful for. And we're going to see how big a list of things we can have that we can say, thank you, Lord, that whatever. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this was okay to listen to. So God bless you. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.